It's incredible. Amen, amen. Well, if you would, go ahead, and if you want to follow along on our message, you can pull out your message notes and your worship guide or follow me on the screens. I want to just say this. It's been, a few days ago, I'm sure many of you saw the news that happened down in Noblesville at the middle school, what took place down there. And how about, man, thank God for that science teacher, Jason Seaman, man, who just stepped in and really saved lives. And so we just thank God for that. But I think, church, we've got to continue to pray. And this is a spiritual, this is a heart issue, this is a spiritual war that we, the church, are called to win. Can somebody say a good amen? And so we've got to make sure that we stay on the offense, not on the defense. We've got to continue to lift up our nation, praying for our kids, our schools all across. I was so moved yesterday. My good friend, Pastor Dave Sumrall and Kate Itown Church, they're overseers of our church here, Elevate City. They actually hosted a prayer community event for just everything that happened on Friday. And man, connected with him yesterday, and man, tons of churches just came to join together to pray down there in the Noblesville Fishers area. And so I just think, man, when the church is together, we are so much stronger when we are together. Amen, everybody. And so I just thank God for that. And so just continue to pray. And we have been praying for them. We prayed yesterday in our Saturday morning prayer as well. But Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, this is a message today that it's been a really unique season for me personally, because I'm used to kind of flowing, ebbing and flowing in series, and the Holy Spirit really has just been working on me and putting some messages just within my heart. A few weeks ago, I preached a message called, if you remember this, the 1st of May, Rhythm and Flow. How many remember that? Rhythm and Flow. And then today, though, is something that has also, and I think some of these are things God's just preaching to me too. But I wanted to speak on really just this subject today, and it comes out of this verse, and I want to read it to you. And it says, this is Solomon talking. He said, "I've observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race, and the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle." How many know that's true? "The wise sometimes go hungry, and the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It is all decided by chance, by being," say this with me, "in the right place at the right time." Say it again, right place, right time. All right, let's say it together, right place. There you go, right time. We got to work on our cohesiveness there, but we'll get it. And I want you to see something, because God is essentially saying this in this verse, that being faster, being stronger, being wiser, being educated doesn't automatically make you and I a winner in life. But being at the right place at the right time causes you and I to receive blessings from the Lord. And God, who holds time, don't let that part of chance trip you up, because it's God who holds time, and it's God who holds chance in his hands. And he is the only one who can put you in the right place at the right time. How many have ever heard the other side of this saying, that wrong place, wrong time? How many have ever heard that before? How many know you don't want to be in the wrong place at the wrong time? And so here's what I want to talk to you about, is that God has a place for us. And I think what happens is when we get out of place and we get out of alignment, man, is we come to a place that we come so far away from God's purpose, so far away from what he's destined us to do, that our vision is scurred. It's like smudge on the glasses. We can't see real well. But God has a place for you. Everybody say, God has a place for me. And so when you're uncertain about purpose, that's really the first note I want to give you, is that God has a place. He has a place that has been designed for you and for me. And he wants us to figure this out. He wants us to find this. And the only way that we're going to be able to capture this is by understanding his heart. And I actually want to take this message this morning out of Esther. A few weeks ago, we had our Moxie, feels like a few weeks ago, women's rally. And Bethany did a great job just talking a little bit on the subject. She didn't go in a lot of depth, but she did hit a few things on Esther. And there's a couple things that she said in that really struck just something in my spirit. And so I wanted to just kind of take this even further this morning and talk about the place, because Esther was in an interesting situation in her life. And she was just an incredible woman of God that we could take so much from her. So Esther chapter 2 and verses 5 through 7, it says, "There was a Jew who lived in the palace complex in Susa." Now, these are a bunch of names that are interesting to pronounce, so bear with me, all right? And if you can pronounce them, maybe you should be up here, all right? His name was Mordecai. That one's pretty easy. The son of Jair, the son of Shimeah, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Not bad. His ancestors had been taken from Jerusalem with the exiles and carried off with King Jehoiachin, all right? Don't name your kid that, all right, of Judah by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon into exile. All right, so here's what all that means to this point. Everyone's in exile. That's all you need to know to this point, all right? Everybody got that, all right? And it goes on to say, Mordecai had reared his cousin Hadassah, otherwise known as Esther. Since she had no father or mother, the girl had a good figure and a beautiful face, but after her parents died, Mordecai had adopted her. So I want to just give you some context about Esther and a little bit more to her story. Esther, again, was young. Her parents have passed away, and it was her cousin Mordecai that adopted her. And she's now in a strange country where there is a totally different culture. And she always struggled with the feelings of inadequacy because she never just felt like she ever fit in. She always had this struggle to her. And have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like you just don't fit in? Have you ever felt like, man, I'm not where I'm supposed to be, and I'm trying to figure this thing out? And maybe you feel like that on the job. Maybe it's a career. Maybe you feel like that. There's dynamics that's happening. You're not in the place of where God wants you in your marriage or your family. Maybe it's you know, like I said, career working. Maybe even within your kids. They're not where you are hoping they would be. And things aren't working out like maybe you thought. You know, it's sad to me that there's a lot of people in the world that spend their entire lives never clicking, never really figuring out the place that God has. And, you know, I'll never forget working at the Columbus Airport there in Columbus, Ohio. And I've shared a little bit of this story before, but I was really frustrated because as I worked in retail there, I would always see some of my friends that were in ministry always flying out. And here I am wanting to be in full-time ministry and pursuing the call of God, but here I am in the retail store. And I would get jealous, envy, I mean, just attitude. Like, I just was mad at God. I'm like, why am I here and they flying there? You know, like, what's up, God? And I was so upset, and finally God just got my attention, and he said, when are you going to let me, you know, when are you going to let me help you with your attitude? And I was like, what you mean? I ain't got no attitude. And the Lord said, oh, yes, you do. And I don't know how God talks to you, but he talks to me so I can understand, just real blunt, real clear to me. And he just said, your attitude and your pridefulness needs to fall. And Kyle, this is what he said to me. He said, you're in the place that I have for you to be in this season. Because in this place, I'm molding you into the man of God that I'm wanting you to be and developing your character while we're in this process. And man, it just brought conviction to my heart. And I will never forget just crumbling in the presence of God and saying, okay, God, you obviously know a lot better than I do. And so all of a sudden, man, just a shift in my heart took place. And I just began to embrace the place that I was in. And sometimes the place that you're in may not be where you want to be, but it may be exactly where God wants you to be. And a lot of times we get so dissatisfied with the place that we're in, instead of asking God, what are you trying to teach me? We spend our wheels trying to constantly say, why am I here? Why is this happening? What, you know? And so I've just learned, and this season taught me to understand that it's not about why I'm here, it's about what God is trying to teach me. What's he trying to help me understand? What is it that God is trying to show me in this season of helping to mold my character? And so I'll never forget that as I embrace the place that God had for me, that he began to show me people on the job that needed Christ. And all of a sudden, I saw the place that I was at as ministry.
That was what God was trying to get to me, that regardless of where you're at, you've got to embrace ministry no matter where you're at. And so I began to embrace ministry as God saw it for me and knew that, man, if I can't embrace ministry here at the retail stores of the Port Columbus airport, man, how am I ever going to be able to pastor a church one day if I can't even reach these people where I'm at because of the dysfunctional attitude that I had? And so I allowed the Holy Spirit to deal with me, and I embraced it. And instead of getting upset, man, when my pastor or the other guys were flying out, I was like, yeah, go get them. You know, my attitude shifted. And it went from being in a place of regret to a place of just celebration and what God was wanting to do. And I think we've all had moments, when we think about it, that we have felt like we've been overlooked. I felt that way. I felt that way a lot. I felt that way sometimes in basketball. I was the shortest guy on the team. And, hey, but you know what? May have been one of the last picks sometimes, but they paid for it on the basketball court. Let me just tell you. Oh, yeah. Come on. They didn't call me scrappy for nothing. I'm telling you right now, glory to God, you know. And here's what I'm saying. All of us have been in the place where we probably have felt that we have been overlooked and out of place. But I think today this message is an incredible one for your life, that God has a place for you and for me. Amen. And I just want to share this because this has just been on my heart today. I've got a huge heart for people that are even in transition right now in your life. Because, man, I know what that's like, and our family has been through that. I've got a huge heart today, and I really want to dedicate this message to those who feel like you've been out of place or overlooked, that this message is for you today. The Bible says this in Psalm 33. It says, "But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, and the purposes of his heart through all generation." In other words, there is no generation, nor will there ever be, where God is not working his purpose through. Can you say a good amen? And so I want to just spend a couple minutes of helping us find the place. All right? Right place. Everybody say right place. Right time. There you go. Number one, jot this down if you're following along in our notes today, that finding your place requires great faith and trust. Man, if you're going to find and stick in the place that God has for you, it's going to require great faith and trust. Because listen to me, there will always be times and seasons in your life of certain uncertainty. Yet, where it's just like, man, how am I getting from here to there? But that's the element of faith and trust, that God sees what you do not see. And I've just learned to rest in the fact that I know that God knows more than I do. And I just believe if you will settle that in your heart and move in a place of faith, because listen, faith is not just belief, faith is trust. It's trusting that God knows exactly what he's doing. Faith goes from knowing I believe that he exists to knowing, man, God, I give you my life, that my life no longer belongs to me, it belongs to you. You're in control. And so Esther chapter 2, let's bring it back to her story. Verse 17 says, "The king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women. She won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti." Vashti was the former queen. She had disobeyed, and so she was given the boot, so she's out. And so the king holds a beauty contest, and Esther wins. She wins. She was chosen as the queen. And so you say, well, man, was that her purpose? No. It was the place, everybody say the place, that God had for her to be in order for God to move through her. She didn't know it yet, but this was part of God's setup, that God specifically put her in the place that he needed. And let me just say this. The safest place for you and I to be is in the will of God. Doing what God wants, doing it his way. In other words, there's no place that is out of place when you're in God's place. Amen, everybody? Let me just say it again. There's no place that is out of place when you're in God's place. I don't know about you, but even in the seasons where I'm frustrated and or have been hurt or whatever, as long as I know I'm in his place and where he wants me to be, I refuse to get consumed about what everything else is happening around me or whatever is being said about me. I'm just staying focused and leaning in on what God is saying and what he's writing in the story for my life in his place. Amen? Faith believes that God is working in your current situation. Trust knows that he's going to be true of what he said he would do. And for some of us today, I don't know what it is that's going on in your life. I don't know the need that's in front of you, but trust him. And even remind him of what he said he would do. It's why I love journaling so much, because I go back sometimes in my journal and remember some of the things that God has said or promised me. And I can say, God, I remember, see, when you said this to me. And so it will come to pass. Amen? Jeremiah 17, such a great verse here. It says this, but blessed are those who, what's that say? Trust. Everybody say trust in the Lord and have made the Lord, look at this, their hope and confidence. Check this out, it gets better. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green. Check this out. And they never stop producing fruit. Say it again. They never stop producing fruit. Who's they? Us. And I was reading this scripture this week, and man, it challenged me so much, because I thought, man, how many of us want to live a life that never stops producing fruit? When I preached on rhythm and flow a few weeks ago, we talked about out of your heart flows rivers. And part of that flowing, that flow that comes out of your heart, that God's intention was to refresh and to move and to help refresh the lives of others. And I love this part, because you and I can be a man, a woman, young person who never stops producing fruit if we trust in the Lord and that we put our hope and our confidence in him. Man, let it be said of us that we be a church that never stops producing fruit. Come on, somebody. Let us be a church that is always reaching the ones that nobody else is reaching, that will do anything short of sin to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. And so I want to encourage you today, let it be a prayer. Let it be a devotion. God, I want to be so close to you that I'm in a place that I never stop producing fruit. So help me to trust. Trusting God is saying this, I release control. Because how many know we like to be in control? Man, we in a generation and a culture and a society that likes control. It's at your fingertips. You can do about anything now at your fingertips. But it says this, I release control so that you can be in control. Second thing is this, finding your place requires great courage. I love this. Because it takes great courage to step into the place that God has for us. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's what you do in spite of the fear. It's, in other words, stepping on the edge and taking a risk. And if I jump and if I do this, whatever God has called us to, man, that I know regardless, he's going to catch me. And I've just learned through seasons of life. How many have had a tough week this week? I mean, it's just kind of been tough. Yeah, and it's okay. And we have tough times because life can get tough, right? And even times of just resistance. Remember, you have an adversary. He is the devil, and he's trying to do three things: steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to take you out. He's like a roaring lion roaming around seeking whom he may devour. And you got to realize the authority, man of God, that's on the inside of you. And that there really is a devil that's trying to destroy your life, that's trying to destroy your family, that's trying to destroy your marriage. And you and I can't just, you know, twiddly thumb, you know, around and just think, well, everything's going to be okay. No, there are times that we have to confront the enemy. And we have to stand in the place of authority and know how to confront him with the power of God on our side. I believe this, that out of our greatest times, listen to me, out of our greatest times of resistance comes our greatest times of revelation. That when resistance is at its height, that I know come forth some of the greatest moments of revelation for my life, where God is wanting to show me some things and make some things more clear. Courage is not getting stuck at where you're at, but staying focused on where you're going. That was Esther. That was her to the fullness. So, picking back up on this story, there was an official, his name was Haman, who plotted to trick the king at this time, to kill all of the Jews, and to get him to pass this law that on a certain day, that anyone can kill the Jewish people. I was messed up. And so simply because Haman wanted this, because of a grudge that he had with Mordecai. Again, Mordecai, the cousin of Esther. And so Mordecai comes to Esther distressed, placed on her shoulders the request to go to the king. He said, if not, innocent people will be killed. Look at this verse in chapter 4, verse 13. It says, do not think that because you are in the king's house, this is Mordecai talking to Esther, that you alone of all the Jews will escape. Watch this. For if you remain silent at this time, and deliverance for the Jews, or relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. I'll touch that more in just a second. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. Esther was placed for the purpose of others. She is now realizing that God has a place for her. This young woman who has dealt with so much in her young life and always felt that she was overlooked. Can I just tell you, God specializes in connecting with people that feel that they're overlooked and using them to do incredible things. And if you have the courage to jump, God is going to catch you. But here's the thing. There was a decision that Esther had to make. Back in verse 13, it says, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. And I'm telling you, man, this speaks to me. Because God said, and Esther, if you don't respond to do what I've called you to do, I will raise somebody else up in your place. And I want you to think about that. Because that's a sobering thought. To know that God hasn't just given you potential, but God has a strategic purpose and plan for each of our lives. And if we don't pursue the assignment and the call of God on our life, then God's saying, hey, I'm going to have to raise somebody else up in your place. And that's brought great conviction in my life because I thought, Lord, I never want it said of me that I wasn't pursuing your plan and your purpose and you had to raise up somebody else or you have to move somebody else to Fort Wayne to do what I was called to do. I mean, when I was in my office this week, I just hung on this verse for a little while. Because I thought, God, I know there's going to come great fights to be able to see what you want to happen, but it's all worth it. There's nothing in this world that I would rather be doing than doing what God has called me to do. But God is saying, but if you don't respond, I'm going to have to send somebody else in your place. I'll never forget, as I've learning in this journey, that purpose, everybody say purpose. Here's something you need to know about purpose and pursuing God's call, that purpose will always have an intersection of decision that requires courage. I'm going to say it again. Purpose will always have an intersection of decision that requires great courage. I'll never forget when Bethany and I made the decision to move here. It was funny, just on my app this morning, I was just talking about services today. Looking forward to being with you guys this morning on this Memorial Day weekend. And as I was, y'all get those reminders sometimes on your social media, like what happened, 9 years ago. You know what I'm talking about? And time hop or whatever it's called. Hop, I don't know what it is, but it's something like that. But anyways, I have that, and it came up, and it showed me seven years ago, that this day 7 years ago, we were packing up our house, moving. And I just thought about that because I remember the night before we moved. I remember because Bethany and I just had a mattress on the floor. And because we had broken everything down, everything was put up in the truck, and the only thing we left out was a mattress for us. And so I'll never forget, we had the mattress on the floor, and it was very emotional for us. Bethany's from there. That's all she's known. I was scared out of my mind, freaked out, peed a little bit probably. I just was freaked. I mean, I quit my job. I'm like, what am I doing? Yeah, I was that nervous and scared. Just confession time. That's what it was for me. And nonetheless, that night, though, I mean, we just both had tears. And I said this once to her, and I said it again. I said, babe, listen. I said, I know there are no guarantees. We just knew God called us to move, and ARC wasn't guaranteed to us. That came, like, months later. We just knew God said go, and we were going to respond. And ARC started church planning support that helped us later on. And I'll just never forget, as we just had tears running down our face, we just grabbed each other's hands and just kind of looked at each other and we prayed. And after we did that, I just said, babe, I don't know if this is going to work. And I'm thankful that you're taking a risk with me. And we're going to go, and we're going to try to plant this church. And I said, it may fail. It might. But it might work. And I said, I'd like to dwell on the more of it might work part than the failing part. And I think we always have a game plan, you know, in mind of how some things will work out. I just think, man, we've got to focus on the good. And so, but I said, but if we do fail, at least we failed trying. So there's a lot of people in the world that have great dreams but never do anything with them. I said, at least we can say, man, we tried it. We gave it our all. We gave it our best. I'm so thankful that, you know, 7 years later, 6 years, we celebrated in the spring. Man, we're still going because of what God's doing. And he gets all the glory and all the credit. Amen, everybody? It just takes great courage. Takes great courage. And don't ever let fear grip you from jumping into what God has called you and I to do. Amen? You say, man, what if I miss it? But what if you don't jump? What if you just live your life always thinking about, I could have or I wish I would have? Come on, time is short. And respond to whatever God is placing. When you move in faith in God, God moves in you. And regardless if you do fall, so what? His grace will catch you. And you'll still be okay. Because that's the love of our Father. Can somebody say amen? Third thing, I got to move. Finding your place requires great focus on him. Great focus. Esther 4. So then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa, and look at this, fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. I love Esther's response. Esther, this shows me that she is not an emotionally led, driven leader. Instead of before making a decision, she says, I'm going to get the heart of God, I'm going to pray first, and we're going to fast, and then we're going to see what God says and how we're going to go about this. Too many times we are led by our emotions and our feelings, and it gets us caught up but nothing but mess. Be careful of being emotionally led or driven. Learn from Esther and step back and say, man, I need to pray. And I love the fact that not only did she pray and fast, but notice she gathered other people with her. People that loved her as much, loved God as much as she did, and said, man, we're going to hear from God together. And here's what I know, whatever's going on in your life today, that whatever is happening, whenever something is happening to you, it's because God is trying to do something in you. Instead of asking God why, I've just learned in some of the most difficult seasons of my life that when something is happening to me, it's because God's trying to do something in me. Amen, church. Jeremiah 33, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not No. Sometimes I just wish that God would make it clear. I wish that I would just see the writing on the wall, like, this is the way, go, you know? And here's what I know about God. God wants us to seek him out. He wants to build faith. He wants to build that trust. And here's the fourth and final thing, that finding your place requires great initiative. Moments you will have that you're going to have to take a step, take a leap. Esther 4:16, she made the decision. She said, I will go. I will go to the king. And it was against the law. You couldn't just do this whenever you wanted. Even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. If I die, I die, she says. But I'm going to do what God has placed me here to do. Winston Churchill said this. He said that in every age, there comes a time when a leader must come forward to meet the needs of the hour. Therefore, there is no potential leader who does not have an opportunity to make a positive difference in society. Tragically, there are times when a leader does not rise to the hour. It's a tragedy when we don't take the initiative and jump and go out and reach the call and the assignment of God. It's not just, you know, I was talking to Pastor Aaron Jane, by the way, didn't he preach a fantastic message last week? So good. And we were talking, Pastor Larry Osborne, pastors North Coast Church in California, great pastor, great leader, we were talking about a statement that he made about not just pursuing potential. Yeah, we got potential, but it's pursuing the assignment. Every single one of us are responsible for the call and the assignment. That's on me and you to fulfill whatever that is that God has, and it's a tragedy when we don't respond to it, and God loves it when we respond to him, and it moves him to see people move in faith. And we can never accomplish our purpose without Jesus and His church. God has placed us together, His church, as a family to do this life together. After service today, guess what? You can go on our app, go online, and you can look at all the summer small groups. Rally Day is next Sunday. Everybody say next Sunday. This is my plug for small groups. And we're not a church about small groups. We're a church of small groups. And we came out of the greatest semester in the history of our church with 40-plus. This summer, we just do a shortened semester. We know people are vacationing. Man, we want people to vacation well. But, man, for some of us, it's going to take courage and initiative to take that next step so you and I quit doing life alone. You and I are not made to do life alone. We're made to do life together. We need each other. Look at the person next to you and say, man, we're better together. Better together. Look at the person who is your second choice and tell them, we're better together. But you know what I think about? I think about the church. I don't think he's in this service, but I won't name all these names, but I do want to name one. Sam, who I met at Easter Sunday in our church, who I met out there in the hallway. Sam had never walked foot in this church, in any church in his life. Sam is right around 24, 25. He won't mind me telling this because I said, man, I got to share this story. Never walked foot in a church ever. And man, he walked in here on Easter Sunday a couple months ago and gave his heart to Jesus. That's why we exist. We exist. Yeah, I'm not done yet. You can clap in a minute, but we exist for the man I prayed with not too long ago that was down here, was strung out on meth and alcohol, and he said, struggling with suicide, ready to quit. He said, man, if something didn't happen to me today, I was going home to kill myself. We exist for people like that. Are you with me? We exist for the family, the couple that's been in our church for a while, who hadn't been in church in almost 20 years because of a deep, wounded hurt. They thought, man, they were invited to come here some time ago and thought, man, we're going to give this place a shot. We'll just see what happens. No expectations. But God so moved on their heart that now they're active, they're a part, they're serving, making a difference. That's why we, the church, are better together. Amen, everybody? I want to give you a couple final things. I think if Esther were hanging with you today, I think there's some words of encouragement that you and I can learn from. I think one of them is when you don't understand your season, when you don't understand what's going on in your life, hear me, stay steady, but be ready. Stay steady, but be ready. It's never going to be totally clear. It's part of the certain uncertainty part I talked about. Stay steady. A principle that I've tried to teach you guys through the years that I will always remind you of is choices lead, feelings follow. Again, it's going back to not being an emotionally driven person that just making decisions off of what you feel. Your feelings often are lying to you anyway. You got to be careful. That's why you got to get in the presence of God, pray and fast and hear from God before you make decisions. Choices lead, feelings follow. Some of the great women in my life, outside of my beautiful wife, is my great-grandma who's been with the Lord for a while, and my grandmother and my mom. One of the things that I've learned from those women of God is their tenacity in the area of prayer. I watched all three of those women go through different things in their life in different seasons. And the thing that they taught me is to stay steady in the place of prayer. Never give up on God, because God will never give up on you. But also stay ready. Be ready to respond. And one of the greatest things and cultures that they imparted into my life that God used them is to know how to pray and get a hold of God. Amen. And here's the thing, I know that we're in a culture that just quits too easily. Commitment to stay the course is a lost value today. And I think the greatest testimony is that when you and I go through the fire and we come out of that thing not smelling like smoke, that, yeah, we're going to go through some stuff, we're going to go through the fire at times, but listen, because of who God is and His power, we can come out of that not having a hint of smoke. Amen, everybody? God is looking for, I'm telling you, sold-out, committed followers of Jesus who will not waver, but who will be committed to the cause of Christ and will pursue the call on our life. Romans 8:28 says, we know that in all things, everybody say all things, good or bad, all right, God works for those, for the good of those who love Him and been called according to His purpose. The cool thing about God is He always knows how to make the best out of any situation. Here's the second thing. I know that she would encourage Esther, as we learn from her story, that when you realize God's purpose for your life, you feel empowered. She felt an empowerment come upon her. When you find your purpose, God gives you grace to do it. Our growth track starts next Sunday. If you've not jumped in to figure out what are the next steps, and man, if you've been in a place of thinking, man, what on earth am I here for? That's part of the reason why we want to help you go through this growth track. It's going to help you. 87% of Christians in our nation don't know their gifts or their purpose. We've got to do something about that. And so that's why we have growth track, to help people find and discover their gifts and purpose and go live it out in Jesus' name. Because look at the person next to you. Tell them, hey, you're full of purpose. Full of purpose. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good, healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. One of my favorite verses, Philippians 4:13. Would you read it with me? I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And here's the last thing, and then we're going to pray, is when you know God is in control. And if you know that today, it's going to be easier for you to take that next step. And I wanted to end with this particular verse, because I wanted to remind you and I of how powerful, how strong our God is. Here in Acts 17, it says, for one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of the lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. And though he is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. Here's what I want to just say this as I close. God has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten you. He knows exactly what he's placed within you. And I'm telling you, you are inside of you is greatness that is waiting to come out. But it's going to take a courage for you to take the step and take the initiative and to trust God. For some of you, it might be a small group. For some of you, it might be growth track. For some of you, it just may be a total surrender this morning of just saying, God, I'm tired of being in control, because the more I'm in control, the more mess I get myself in. And I'm just telling you, man, you and I need God in our life, and we need his power. And so here's the question I want you to think about as we get ready to pray. Is God really in control, or are you? Is God really in control of my life, or is it me? Would you bow your heads where you're at? I want to pray. Father, we just thank you. We just thank you, God, for who you are. And we just honor you and we love you. And this morning, and if you would, just right there where you're sitting, just kind of open up your hands. Just right there. It's just a sign of just your heart being open and receiving to God and of total surrender today. That's it. Just right there in your lap, wherever you're at. And God, we just recognize today we need you. We need your love. We need your power. And for some of us today that we have felt like we've been out of place and we've been in the wrong time, I just pray today that, God, there will be a realignment in our lives and in our spirit and in our walk today in the mighty name of Jesus. So, God, right here where we're at, we just surrender this moment to you. But, God, take control of our lives. And, God, we declare today that you would put us in the right place at the right time. God, we don't want to see somebody else have to be raised up because we're not leaning in. Today, we choose to lean into your call. We choose to lean into your voice. And regardless of what happens, we know your love and grace will be there to catch us. And so, Father, I just pray the power of your Holy Spirit move right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, we honor you and we give you the praise. And I want to give you an opportunity here this morning before we end this service. If Jesus is not the Lord of your life, you can make him Lord of your life. For some, maybe he was at one point, and man, you've walked away from God or you've just drifted. Man, recommit today to God. And all over this room, if that's you, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Unashamed, who cares about the person on your right and your left? This is a moment between you and God. And if that's you, you say, man, Kyle, that's me. I want you to raise your hand high, and we're all going to pray a prayer together. But this is a moment right here in this place with every head bowed. One, two, three in this place. Say, man, that's me. That's me. Yeah, gotcha. Gotcha. Awesome. Praise God. Praise God. And I want to lead you in a prayer right now. And just say this with me. Say, Jesus, I need you. Come on, say it with some strength. Jesus, I need you. Forgive me of my sins and for living life my way. I invite you to be the Lord of my life. Take control of my life and make me the person you want me to be and give me the power to change. In the name of Jesus, amen.